Welcome here to the Divine Office. Today is the memorial, or optional memorial, of St. Raymond of Pennyford, who was St. Catherine of Siena, much more famous, but was her spiritual director and confessor, for primary confessor. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Psalm 24 for our invitatory. The Lord's entry into his temple. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who is not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Now the song or the hymn. All you who long to see the Christ, lift up your eyes to heaven's height, for there you will behold the sign of his eternal majesty. The star in light and beauty bright, outshines the circle of the sun. It brings glad tidings to the earth that God in mortal flesh has come. Lo, Persian magi from the east, the gateway of the rising sun, discern with wise and learned skill the royal standard of the king. This great one, who is he, they ask, the sovereign ruler of the stars. Celestial hosts before him quake, the light and skies obey his will. Some noble wonder we behold, that knows no limit, end or death. Sublime, exalted, boundless one, more ancient than the heights and depths. The King of nations, this is he, the sovereign King of Israel, pledged to their father Abraham and his descendants evermore. To you, Lord Jesus, glory be, revealed to nations on this day. With God the Father ever blessed and loving spirit ever one. Now let us begin with the Psalms from this beautiful day in Christmastide for the office of readings. Antiphon 1 is surrender to God and he will do everything for you. I love that one. That's important to me in my daily relationship with God. So we'll repeat it after each strophe. Psalm 37, the lot of the wicked and the good. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not envy those who do evil. For they wither quickly like grass and fade like the green of the fields. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. If you trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live in the land and be secure. You will find your delight in the Lord. If you find your delight in the Lord, he will grant you your heart's desire. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. Commit your life to the Lord. Trust him, and he will act, so that your justice breaks forth like the light, your cause like the noonday sun. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. Be still before the Lord, and wait in patience. Do not fret at the man who prospers, a man who makes evil plots to bring down the poor and the needy. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. Calm your anger and forget your rage. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who do evil shall perish. The patient shall inherit the land. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. A little longer, and the wicked shall have gone. Look at his place, he is not there. But the humble shall own the land and enjoy the fullness of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. Antiphon 2 is, turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. The wicked man plots against the just and gnashes his teeth against him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is at hand. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. The sword of the wicked is drawn. His bow is bent to slaughter the upright. Their sword shall pierce their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken to pieces. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. The just man's few possessions are better than the wicked man's wealth. For the power of the wicked shall be broken, and the Lord will support the just. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. He protects the lives of the upright. Their heritage will last forever. They shall not be put to shame in evil days. In time of famine, their food shall not fail. Turn away from evil. Learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. But all the wicked shall perish, and all the enemies of the Lord. They are like the beauty of the meadows. They shall vanish. They shall vanish like smoke. Turn away from evil. Learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. The wicked man borrows without repaying, but the just man is generous and gives. Those blessed by the Lord shall own the land, but those he has cursed shall be destroyed. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. I was young and now I am old, but I have never seen the just man forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. All the day he is generous and lends, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. I was young and now I am old, but I have never seen the just man forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. All the day he is generous and lends, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. The Lord guides the steps of a man and makes safe the path of the one he loves. Though he stumble, he shall never fall, for the Lord holds him by the hand. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. I was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the just man forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. All the day he is generous and lends, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. Then turn away from evil and do good, and you shall have a home forever. For the Lord loves justice and will never forsake his friends. Turn away from evil, learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. The unjust shall be wiped out forever, and the children of the wicked destroyed. The just shall inherit the land. There they shall live forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Turn away from evil. Learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. Antiphon 3. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. The just man's mouth utters wisdom, and his lips speak what is right. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps shall be saved from stumbling. The wicked man watches for the just and seeks occasion to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his power, nor let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. Then wait for the Lord, keep to his way. for it is he who will free you from the wicked, raise you up to possess the land, and see the wicked destroyed. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. I have seen the wicked triumphant, towering like a cedar of Lebanon. I passed by again, he was gone. I searched, he was nowhere to be found. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. See the just man, mark the upright. For the peaceful man, a future lies in store, but sinners shall all be destroyed. No future lies in store for the wicked. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord, their stronghold in time of distress. The Lord helps them and delivers them and saves them, for their refuge is in him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. You proclaimed the poor to be blessed, Lord Jesus, for the kingdom of heaven is given to us. Fill us generously with your gifts. Teach us to put our trust in the Father and to seek his kingdom first of all, rather than imitate the powerful and envy the rich. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. Now let us turn to listen to God's word in the reading. Let us attend to the Holy Spirit's voice in this reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 62, 1 through 12. The approach of redemption. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her vindication shines forth like the dawn, and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall men call you forsaken, or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight, and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have stationed watchmen. Never by day or by night shall they be silent. Oh, you who are to remind the Lord, take no rest, and give no rest to him, until he reestablishes Jerusalem, and makes it the pride of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, no more will I give you grain as food to your enemies, your grain as food to your enemies, nor shall foreigners drink your wine for which you toiled, but you shall harvest the grain and eat it, and you shall praise the Lord. You who gather the grapes shall drink the wine in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones, raise a standard over the nations. See, the Lord proclaims to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, your salvation comes. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called frequented, a city that is not forsaken. Responsory prayer. The nations shall see your justice, all kings shall witness your glory, and the Lord himself will give you a new name by which you shall be called. You will be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a kingly diadem in the hand of your God. The Lord himself will give you a new name by which you shall be called. Second reading from our tradition of the church is from this sermon, and it is a good one, on the Epiphany attributed to Saint Hippolytus, priest. So what attributed means is we don't actually know if Hippolytus authored this, but hundreds of years ago it was common to think that it was attributed to Hippolytus. Water and the Spirit. That Jesus should come and be baptized by John is surely cause for amazement. to think of the infinite river that gladdens the city of God being bathed in a poor little stream of the eternal, the unfathomable fountainhead that gives life to all men being immersed in the shallow waters of this transient world. He who fills all creation, leaving no place devoid of his presence, he who is incomprehensible to the angels and hidden from the sight of man, came to be baptized because it was his will. And behold, the heavens opened, and a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The beloved Father begets love, and spiritual light generates light inaccessible. In his divine nature, he is my only Son, whom he was known. Though he was known as the son of Joseph, this is my beloved son. Though hungry himself, he feeds thousands. Though weary, he refreshes those who labor. He has no place to lay his head, yet holds all creation in his hand. By his passion, inflicted on him by others, he frees us from all the passions unleashed by our disobedience. By receiving a blow on the cheek, he gives the world its liberty. By being pierced in the side, he heals the wound of Adam. I ask you now to pay close attention, for I want to return to that fountain of life and contemplate its healing waters at their source. The Father of immortality sent his immortal Son and Word into the world. He came to us men to cleanse us with water and the Spirit, to give us a new birth that would make our bodies and souls immortal. He breathed into us the spirit of life and armed us with incorruption, incorruptibility. Now, if we become immortal, we shall also be divine. And if we become divine after rebirth in baptism through water and the Holy Spirit, we shall also be co-heirs with Christ after the resurrection of the dead. Therefore, in a herald's voice, I cry, let the peoples of every nation come and receive the immortality that flows from baptism. This is the water that is linked to the Spirit, the water that irrigates paradise, makes the earth fertile, gives growth to plants, and brings forth living creatures. In short, this is the water by which a man receives new birth and life, the water in which even Christ was baptized, the water into which the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. Whoever goes down into these waters of rebirth will, with faith, renounces the devil and pledges himself to Christ. He repudiates the enemy and confesses that Christ is God, throws off his servitude, and is raised to filial status. He comes up from baptism resplendent as the sun, radiant in his purity, but above all, he comes as a son of God and co-heir with Christ. To him and to his most holy and life-giving Spirit be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Responsory prayer. I saw the Spirit coming from heaven like a dove, resting upon him. I have seen and given witness that he is the Son of God. He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and rest, this is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." I have seen and given witness that he is the Son of God. Now, instead of concluding with final prayer, we're going to combine with morning prayer and look at some more beautiful psalms. And after, we can have a brief handing on the faith segment of catechesis, where we look at the rite of baptism. Psalmody. Lord, send forth your light and your truth. Defend me, O God, and plead my cause against a godless nation. Psalm 43, longing for the temple. From deceitful and cunning men, rescue me, O God. Since you, O God, are my stronghold, why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? O send forth your light and your truth. Let these be my guide. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Lord, send forth your light and your truth, and I will come to the altar of God, the God of my joy. My Redeemer, I will thank you on the harp, O God, my God. Lord, send forth your light and your truth. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God, I will praise him still, my Savior and my God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Almighty Father, source of everlasting light, send forth your truth into our hearts, and pour over us the brightness of your glorious light. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, send forth your light and your truth. Lord, keep us safe all the days of our life, is Antiphon 2 for morning prayer. And we have the canticle from Isaiah 38 as our next prayer. We read from Isaiah in the listening segment, but now we pray from Isaiah, speaking back to God. Anguish of a dying man and joy in his restoration is the caption. I am living, I was dead, but I hold the keys of death, words of Christ in the book of Revelation, in the prophecy of Revelation, is our sentence from scripture or tradition. Once I said, in the noontime of life I must depart, to the gates of the netherworld I shall be consigned for the rest of my years. I said, I shall see the Lord no more in the land of the living, no longer shall I behold my fellow men among those who dwell in the world. My dwelling, like a shepherd's tent, is struck down and borne away from me. You have folded up my life like a weaver who severs the last thread. Day and night you give me over to torment. I cry out until the dawn. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. Day and night you give me over to torment. Like a swallow, I utter shrill cries. I moan like a dove. My eyes grow weak, gazing heavenward. O Lord, I am in straits, be my surety. You have preserved my life from the pit of destruction when you cast behind your back all my sins. For it is not the netherworld that gives you thanks, nor death that praises you, nor did those who go down into the pit await your kindness. The living give you thanks as I do today. Fathers declare to their sons, O God, your faithfulness. The Lord is our Savior. We shall sing to stringed instruments in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So sometimes it's not so important what we think as we read the prayer, but it is. So maybe just imagining yourself or imagining the Holy Spirit next to you can be something simple like that that may even help. It be more of a prayer. Lord, keep us safe all the days of our life. Antiphon 3. To you, O God, our praise is due in Zion. Psalm 65. Solemn thanksgiving. Zion represents heaven, says Origen of Alexandria. This is the sentence from tradition for our to enhance our prayer and help us put it in the context of Christ. To you our praise is due in Zion, O God. To you we pay our vows, you who hear our prayer. To you all flesh will come with its burden of sin. Too heavy for us our offenses, but you wipe them away. Blessed is he whom you choose and call to dwell in your courts. We are filled with the blessings of your house, of your holy temple. You keep your pledge with wonders, O God our Savior, the hope of all the earth and of far distant isles. You uphold the mountains with your strength. You are girded with power. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. The ends of the earth stand in awe at the sight of your wonders. The lands of sunrise and sunset you fill with your joy. You care for the earth, give it water. You fill it with riches. Your river in heaven brims over to provide its grain. And thus you provide for the earth. You drench its furrows, you level it, soften it with showers, you bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and abundance flows in your steps. In the pastures of the wilderness it flows. The hills are girded with joy, the meadows covered with flocks. The valleys are decked with wheat. They shout for joy, yes, they sing. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, hope of all the earth, hear the humble prayer of your children as we sing your praises. Pour out your Spirit on us so that our lives may bear fruit abundantly. To you, O God, our praise is due in Zion. Reading, very short reading. On that day, the branch of the Lord will be luster and glory, and the fruit of the earth will be honor and splendor for the survivors of Israel. He who remains in Zion and he that is left in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone marked down for life in Jerusalem. All the kings of the earth will bow down and worship. All the kings of the earth will bow down and worship. Men and women of every nation will serve him. They will bow down and worship. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. All the kings of the earth will bow down and worship. Canticle of Zechariah, Antiphon is, the wise men offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Lord, the Son of God and King Most High. Alleluia. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The wise men offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Lord, the Son of God and King Most High. Alleluia. Intercessions. Let us rejoice in the compassion of Christ, who came to free mankind from the slavery of corruption and to give us the freedom of the sons of God. Trusting in this divine compassion, we plead, by your birth, deliver us from evil. Lord, you existed before the ages, yet you entered into a new life. You entered a new life. Renew us continually through the mystery of your birth. Without surrendering your divinity, you wondrously took on our humanity. Grant that our lives may press on to a fuller participation in your divinity. You came to be a light to the nations, the teacher of holiness. Let your words be a light along our way. Word of God made flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, you entered this world. Live in our hearts always through faith. By your birth, deliver us from evil. And what are our special intentions? Let's pray for all of the people that we love and for all of our special intentions. By your birth, deliver us from evil. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, you gave St. Raymond the gift of compassion in his ministry to sinners. May his prayers free us from the slavery of sin and help us to love and serve you in liberty. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. I promised we'd hand on the faith very briefly, so there's a lot to be said. The readings for the baptism are all about Christ's baptism, which even though it's different in many ways because it's not baptizing a person in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit like we do after Christ's passion, in a way, you know, it is, because it's also his baptism, in a way, shows us what baptism means. But let's look at the church's baptism. as we look at Christ. So Christ's baptism is first since the beginning of his public ministry. It's the first time in which the Holy Spirit that's always with the Son is manifest and anoints him for the mission that he's going to do as the king, the son of David. So this is like a kingly thing. It's when he becomes a king. And of course that reminds us of our rite in baptism, because there's a time where the person integrated, being baptized into this mystical oneness, into this marriage with Christ, is said to become a king or a queen. And also it points them toward their identity as a son or daughter of God, which comes in baptism in such a powerful way, which also sends them on a mission, just as it did for Christ after his baptism. But let's take a look at the official rite that the priest or deacon prays for individual baptisms. There's a reception of the child, usually an infant, with the parents or guardians, and the minister will address and ask, "What name have you given your child?" And the guardian or parent responds with the name, and then the minister asks, "What do you ask of God's church for name?" And you can ask, you can say baptism, or you can say faith, or the grace of Christ, or entrance into the church, or eternal life, or something that kind of captures the solemnity of the moment but makes sense. You have asked to have your child baptized. In doing so, you are accepting the responsibility of training him or her in the practice of the faith. It will be your duty to bring him or her up to keep God's commandments as Christ taught us, by loving God and neighbor. Do you clearly understand what you are undertaking? And the parents or guardians will say, "We do," if they really want to go forward with this. But you see, this is so important. The church has a little script of things that you're supposed to emphasize as you baptize someone. The celebrant turns to the godparents and addresses them. "Are you ready to help the parents of this child in their duty as Christian parents?" And they, if they want to be godparents, they say, "We are." And the point is that being a godparent is a huge responsibility. It's not huge, but it's a serious commitment to be with them and accompany the parents. "Name, the Christian community welcomes you with great joy. In its name, I claim you for Christ our Savior by the sign of his cross. I now trace the cross on your forehead and invite your parents and godparents to do the same." So again, this is very important, because we say that there's a law of prayer that becomes a law of belief in the church. Before the Pope ever defines a doctrine, there's always a review of how has the church prayed, especially in the liturgy, through this doctrine. So there's a priceless encapsulation of the Word of God in the doctrine. And then they move on to another place in the rite. That was like the reception of the child, and now there's a liturgy of the word that begins with intercessions for the person about to receive this transformational character of the Holy Spirit. "My dear brothers and sisters, let us ask our Lord Jesus Christ to look lovingly on this child who is to be baptized, on his or her parents and guardian, parents and godparents, and on all the baptized." And then there's intercessions that are primarily about the person about to receive the sacramental character. "Holy God, hear the prayer we place before you. We make them in union with all your saints," says the minister. And then there's a litany of saints at all the character sacraments, baptism, confirmation, ordination, even minor ordinations in the old church. There's a litany of saints for the important things in your life, even for the subdiaconate, but not for the other minor orders. There's a litany of the saints. And then there's a prayer of exorcism that the priest or deacon is anointed or is sent out to pray as he anoints the child, before he anoints the child. And I'm not going to read you it, but there are some key phrases. It talks about the Paschal mystery, Christ transferring us from the kingdom of darkness to light. It asks God to do something at the minister's behest, and that is to free the child from original sin, to make the child a temple of your glory, and to send the Holy Spirit to dwell with him or her. And then he says, "We anoint you with the oil of salvation in the name of Christ our Savior. May he strengthen you with his power, who lives and reigns forever and ever." And that's when the oil which again is from the Old Testament. That's why the church fathers added the oil. That's why the church communities had such a powerful symbol, because priests, prophets, and kings were anointed with oil in the Old Testament. May you have strength in the power of Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns forever and ever, is the blessing. Amen. And then they go to the essential celebration of the sign, the external sign, the matter and form that Christ himself asked the apostles to bless people with. And before they're blessed, by entering into God's family permanently, the priest will bless, the priest or deacon will bless the water, will consecrate it and ask, set it apart as holy water through a brief rite. And then the parents, in the name of the child, on behalf of the child, renounce sin and promise to bring the child up in the Catholic faith, to pass on the legacy of what has been passed on to them from Christ, from the apostles, to their child, so that they can participate in Christ's divine life. And they make some promises on behalf of the child, the baptismal promises related to that. And then they profess their Christian and Catholic faith in the name of the child, either through the creed or through some short question and answers, to which they can respond with the almost nuptial echo, I do, on behalf of the child who's about to be united and, if you will, wedded to Christ. Then they have one final chance to jump off this train if they want to. But if they say, yes, we do want this one more time, then the baptism is finalized as the minister will baptize the child, saying, either putting them into the physical matter, the water, three times, or pouring water three times, as they say, in the name, I baptize you name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And at that point, it's said that the Holy Spirit swoops down upon you just as he swooped down upon Christ, and he transfigures the soul of the baptized with a light of his presence and with the sacramental character especially, and promises to be with them forever. And at that point, they have some rites to explain or celebrate what the Holy Spirit has just done when the minister prayed and performed the symbolic action. And that's the anointing after baptism and the gift of a white garment symbolizing your new pure life of Christ, your purity as you walk toward the kingdom of God as a new son or daughter of God. And a lighted candle, again reminding us that we fulfill Christ's mission to be light to others because we are sons and daughters of God. And some special ceremonies that the patristic fathers put in, such as epitha, recalling Christ opening the ears of the blind and the deaf in the Gospels. Finally, there's a final procession, a concluding prayer and blessing, and the baptism by the priest or deacon for the individual child is ended. I know that went a little bit over, but wasn't it great? Wasn't it awesome way to hand on the faith? I hope you have a blessed rest of your day. Dana signing off.